Hello, everybody.
Hi.
Hey, we're back. Back again. How are we doing? Hello, everybody in chat. Hello, Gamma. Hello, DJ Drifter. Hello, Charlie Golf. How are we all doing?
I'm pretty tired. I was almost going to say hi to Nightbot just then. I saw it pop up as you were saying hi, and I was like, wait a minute.
Hi, Nightbot.
Yeah. How are we doing, guys? How was your long weekend?
I did nothing. Like, I didn't even really game. Like, I tried to find a game to play. I know, like, just for a long time now, I've had a hankering for just a pew-pew game. Nothing complex, just I want to shoot things.
Yeah.
And I've thought about jumping back into Halo Infinite multiplayer. Yeah. But I've had Atomic Heart installed there for a bit, and I started playing that, and I went, there is too much thinking to what I want to do. Yeah. I just want a pew-pew.
COD. COD's the best pew-pew.
Okay, I don't get COD. I really don't. Like, and fact, I don't get a lot of shooter games. But
wait, you said you want a pew pew game.
I do.
That's like the ultimate pew pew game.
I want silly thing. Like, I want easy pew pew games. Like, COD to me, just especially the multiplayer side of it, is just like, oh, I'm dead now. At least with Halo, like, I know, because the guns are different. They don't just look like guns to me. Like, the Halo guns are very distinct in what they are, and I know what they do, and I know that if I get a plasma weapon, that'll help me take down somebody's shields very quickly. And but I guess I was looking for a very
specific pew-pew game.
Yeah, very specific type of pew-pew game, and Atomic Heart wasn't scratching that itch. But yeah, so I watched a lot of TV. I binge-watched, there was a show called The Night Agent, which I quite liked.
Oh,
it was good.
Is that a new one?
Yeah. Yeah, it was on Netflix. Reasonably new.
Richard Madden?
No.
No, I'm thinking of some show he's in. The Night Agent.
Yeah.
Who's in it?
No real noticeable actors, really. But yeah, it's a very good show. And while you're having a look at that, I'll say hello to White Monkey as well. And also hello to all our Patreons that have signed up. If you'd like to join our Patreon as well, !support in chat, and you can get the link to go and see our Patreon there. We're very good. We did our first prize draw last month and gave away that box of Crown Zenith Pokemon cards.
Elite
Trader Box. And this month as well, we've got our Lego. We've got the three starter sets, the Mario, Peach, and Luigi starter sets, as well as Peach's Castle set to give away. So that's one of our lucky Patreons. We'll be getting that as part of our monthly prize draw there.
Gamma said go back to Doom or Duke Nukem. Duke Nukem.
You know what? Okay, so I'm going to finish off my little Patreon spiel here because
I want to give
a special shout out to Slatos, who is one of our new Patreon members.
Hey!
So thank you so much for that. Welcome on board. I've already added his name to our little box for the end of month draw, so that'll be good. Duke Nukem for me will forever be a 2D side scroller.
I've never played Duke Nukem.
No, I haven't played the 3D shooter version. And Styx coming in with the 63-month sub.
63! Oh my god.
You're definitely number one in our hearts.
Yeah, number one in your hearts, number one in your subs. Hi Styx, how you doing?
But yeah, Duke Nukem to me was like a 2D shooting side-scroller game long before it became Duke Nukem Forever with the shooting there.
Duke Nukem. I'm sorry. I'm probably showing my age a little bit there.
Well, I've never played, like I said, never played the shooter ones, but yeah, done the 2D side-scrolling ones, which I enjoyed. But Doom, like, I must admit, like, because I never finished was it 2016 Doom? So I reckon I might go back and play that one at some point. But,
2016 Doom. Oh, yeah, yes.
Yeah, so that was like the one before Doom Eternal.
Oh, yeah. That was 2015.
Yeah.
Yeah, 2015 Doom. You might need a fact check me there. Yeah.
But anyway, the newer of the Doom.
Before Eternal. Yeah.
So I did enjoy that, but I did really enjoy Doom Eternal so much as well. Do you remember when that came out?
Doom Eternal?
Yeah.
Yeah, I do quite vividly.
Because it was that very funny little bit of time where COVID was kicking off here.
Yep.
And that came out.
And Animal Crossing also launched the same day.
And the crossover memes with that, like Isabel on Doom Guy's shoulder.
I even saw, like, I can't even remember what it was. Someone else showed me, it was like this animation, and it looked like Smash Brothers, and like Isabel's about to, like, get absolutely, like, you know, smashed, and then Doom Guy, like, rolls up and, like, helps her out. It was so good. Yeah. It was just, like, the collab that we didn't know that we needed.
That's it.
Yeah, that was, I remember that day very vividly, actually, because I went to collect Animal Crossing, because I played Animal Crossing, not on the GameCube. I never had the GameCube, but I had Animal Crossing Wild World on the Nintendo DS. And I had Let's Go to the City on the Wii. So then when it said it was coming out for the Switch, I was like, oh my God, I have to get it. I have to make little me happy and get Animal Crossing again. And yeah, when I went in to go pick that up, because I pre-ordered it naturally, God, it was so busy, because obviously it was just like, you're coming in for Doom, or you're coming in for Animal Crossing. It was a bit of that.
I said, flip a coin, I'll take either.
Yeah, yeah.
White Monkey, thank you so much for your sub as well. 7 months for White Monkey there.
Thank
Amazing.
You so much.
So, got to be honest here, don't have a lot to talk about tonight, but there is one big thing that I want to talk about, because... And that's the Super Mario Brothers movie.
Yep.
We've both seen it.
Yep.
And I liked it.
I really enjoyed it.
There were things that I didn't particularly like about it, but for the most part, I liked it.
Yeah.
I think the thing to remember, though, is this is a kids' movie.
No spoilers. We're not going to go into any spoilers or anything.
Drifter. Mario rescues the princess.
I think... I don't know. I was quite excited for it and also nervous, because, like, I was unsure about, like, some of the voice cast, like the voice actors. I was like, oh, you know, we obviously have in our minds how Mario sounds and how Luigi sounds and, you know, Peach and things like that. And I was actually, for the most part, really, like, impressed. Like, Mario, like, Chris Pratt's Mario, I feel like he's kind of forgettable. Like, he's good Mario, but you're kind of like, oh, whatever, Chris Pratt. But, like, Charlie Day as Luigi, I feel like, was good. Anya Taylor-Joy as Peach. Jack Black as...
Peach kicked ass.
I loved Anya Taylor-Joy as Peach. And I don't know if you saw, when she rocked up at one of the premieres, she was in a pink, like, jumpsuit.
Oh, really?
It kind of looked like she was, like, somewhat cosplaying, like, the Mario Kart, like, thing. It was really cool. And even Jack Black, like, turned up to a premiere, and he had the Bowser spikes on his back.
Yeah.
And he had, like, some, like, little gauntlet things. It was really, really cool, because they were so into it. But, yeah.
There's all the memes about, like, Snoop Dogg being the person that's finished the game and now he's doing all the side quests. I kind of feel like Jack Black's hit that point in his career as well. Like, he's done the main story and now he's just doing all the side quests.
Yeah. But it's funny, like, I didn't realize. So, Jack Black hasn't done a movie since Jumanji. So it's actually been that long since we've seen him. But then he was in Mandalorian last week, which we could go off on a tangent about. Mm. But, it's nice to kind of see him back. But honestly, I kind of forgot he was playing Bowser most of the time because he actually had a voice. He didn't sound like Jack Black. And I feel like he did Bowser really, really well.
I think he did as well. Like, his motivation, like Bowser's motivation in this, I wasn't quite a fan of. I didn't think that was needed. I think just he wanted to get the star, I think, is enough motivation. You don't need to go any deeper than that.
But, yeah. I don't know. I feel like it's hard because, like, we don't want to spoil anything. Oh, no, I think we could say why. Like, because, you know, villain's got to have the motivation. Obviously, he wants a superstar. But, like, I feel like with any Mario game as well, he also wants to get Peach.
Yeah.
Which is, like, pretty standard. I don't think we're giving too much away there. But I think the way they go about it, I really liked it because it made him look really goofy, especially because it's, again, a kids' movie, which I feel like we have to emphasize because I feel like a lot of people who were slamming the movie, forget that this isn't going to be like some Oscar-nominated, storyline narrative or anything like that. It's just good fun, and I think the fact they made Bowser look a little bit desperate as well. Yeah. Was really kind of endearing.
Wayward Cine coming in with the raid. Thank you so much.
Hello.
Very much appreciate it. Welcome in, everybody. We are Game On Oz. We are in the middle of our weekly podcast here. So we're talking all things gaming. At the moment, we are talking the Super Mario Brothers movie. So technically not gaming, but...
No,
but it's technically not gaming, but it's gaming adjacent. Like... generally, we try and draw the line to, like, we talked a little bit about the Last of Us TV show, but not a whole lot, because we like to stick more to gaming. But I feel like this one,
this one's excused a little bit.
We've got to talk about that. Yeah, never mind the fact that we've got all this Mario Lego that we're giving away for our Patreons this month. Exclamation mark support in chat if you'd like to join the Patreons and go in for a chance to win the three starter packs and Peach's Castle right there. But yeah, it's funny because I wasn't really paying attention to critics because I generally don't when
I try
it comes
not to,
to
either.
Movies that I like. I like to make my own opinions about things. But reading some of the reviews,
they're rough.
They're very rough, and I'm sitting there going, okay, because I came out of the movie and I went, there is definitely things I didn't like about this movie.
Yeah.
But then once again, I remember it's a
kids movie.
Kids movie. Yeah. It's ridiculous. Like, some of the things that they're saying, and they're just very harsh on this.
And look, I'm a big kid, right? You're a big kid. We're big kids here, probably. But at the end of the day, it's just in terms of what I feel like we should keep talking about more about what we enjoyed about it and then talk about what we didn't like later. But one of the biggest highlights for me, and I will confess that I continued to listen to this even while I was at work and working, is the score was so damn good. Like, the score was just like, oh, there was just so it's by, well, I think the main name, I guess, they've got on the album is Brian Tyler, I believe. Mm-hmm. And wow, I know in the movie you're like, oh my God, yeah, I can hear that part from this game or that part from this game. When I encourage everyone, go to Spotify, the entire score's on there, including Peaches. including Peaches, it's all on there. And have a good listen, just close your eyes and listen. And oh my God, you will realize how much you also missed during the movie. It's fantastic.
There was so much I picked up in there. There were the hints of Mario Galaxy in there. When they first meet the really cool, Captain Toad type character, you get the stabs of the Captain Toad treasure tracker theme. And it's very well done the way the score from games past has been woven into this movie, and that was really, really good.
Yeah, it reminds me of actually Wayward Cine just reminded me. And also mentioned that the studio looks great. Thank you so much. We love being in the studio. It reminds me also when I saw the Mortal Kombat movie, the most recent one, for example, hearing, the theme and stuff, you can't help but feel a little oh yeah. Nah,
especially when there's such the Mortal Kombat theme itself is so epic.
Yeah.
And the Mario themes through the different game, you just know them. And even, I'm going to spoil one bit of the movie, and I feel like because it happens so early on in the movie, you can't really call it a spoiler. But the Super Mario rap is in there.
Oh, but that was in the trailer. They did at the Super Bowl, so that's not a spoiler.
But
You're safe, everyone.
Yeah, it starts at, the Mario brothers are just starting out on their own as plumbers, and they've commissioned this commercial, and it is the Mario rap, and it's just so good. It is so fun.
The DK rap, Will
DK Donkey Kong.
I realized how much of original Mario / Donkey Kong I missed because I had not heard of the DK rap before the movie. And then I was doing a lot of reading and watching and stuff afterwards. And I was like, oh my God, I missed the whole beginnings and origin of these games. Yeah. Cause I, for those who don't know me too well, I didn't start playing games until I was quite a bit older, I feel like, than most people. And the DK rap's really catchy, annoyingly catchy. I hate that I love it so much.
Yeah,
but
I did love, because the people that were part of Rare at the time who made Donkey Kong 64, where the DK rap comes from, they made Yooka-Laylee. And when Yooka-Laylee first came out, they had
I didn't know that.
They had a Yooka-Laylee rap that was, everybody went, okay, you guys are just copying what you did years ago, but is it really stealing if you're copying yourself, I guess? And I ask, what's his name from Creedence Clearwater Revival who got sued for copying his own song?
Oh, what? Apparently, I need a hydrate. I'm being told off that I'm not hydrating.
There was two hydrates there, so
are you
hydrating for me? I took two hydrates.
Cool. Thank you, thank you.
What's his name? I've lost his name now. The lead singer of Creedence Clearwater Revival, because when he was with CCR, he made a song, and then that song got owned by a particular record label. And then when he broke away and was doing his own solo stuff, there was another song that he made then that sounded like a song he did with CCR, and so that record label sued him for copying his own song.
Oh god! Yeah.
But anyway, welcome to the ownership of rights, people. Fogarty, that's it, John Fogarty.
Well, we should maybe talk about on the topic of music as well. Talk about maybe some things we didn't like from the movie, because the only thing I loved the film as a whole. Like, I know who was it that mentioned that it wasn't like that funny and it was very safe. I still go off the fact that this is a kids movie, and because they have said that they intend to make sequels, I reckon this is just the setup. Like, if this is one movie out of many, this is going to be the safest one, I think, because there's just so many other universes and things they could do.
This is the Force Awakens of... The Force
Awakens
was good.
A New Hope or something?
No, because Force Awakens was basically A New Hope anyway. But anyway, it's a safe movie to dip your toe back in the water is what I'm getting
at. You want to choose the good one to compare it to.
Yeah, but anyway.
Anyway.
Where was I going with that? Yeah, the music. So, the original scores that came from the video games, great, chef's kiss.
Yeah.
The licensed music that they used in there, and they used a lot. There was like five or six songs.
And not only did they use a lot, they used like the corniest, most overused tracks you will find in any movie soundtrack from the last like 20 years.
Like the Mario Kart section starting with Thunderstruck by AC/DC.
Or Holding Out for Hero by Bonnie Tyler. Yeah. And you know what's funny? For those who've been watching the movie Tetris on Apple TV, they also used Holding Out for Hero in that one too. So a lot of people who just watched that last week, they were just like, oh my God, I have to hear it again in Mario.
If it's not Jennifer Saunders singing it in Shrek 2, I don't want to know about it.
that is the best one. No, what was it? There was Bonnie Tyler, there was Thunderstruck.
I kind of tuned them out after a while because there was just so many. And honestly...
They had Aha.
Take On Me.
Yeah, and I was like, this is just so generic. Like, you have such a good score. I was like, stick with it. People are loving... Like, we loved hearing the score and the little, like, you know, musical motifs and stuff while the movie was playing. I feel like there was no reason apart to maybe satisfy the parents and grandparents that were taking their kids to go see it. But yeah, I just don't. Yeah, I don't know.
But for me as well, it kind of felt they crammed too much things into there. If you get what I mean? Because
you feel like it was too crammed.
It didn't feel crammed, but it just felt the same. So, like, there's two action set pieces. There's the montage.
Oh, so we're talking about the narrative now.
No, I'm more talking about the, not the narrative so much, but just the action set pieces. The action set piece where Mario's going through the montage of doing the training stuff. That was really cool. I liked that. But it felt like they did it again when Mario goes to the Kong Kingdom halfway through the movie as well. And it kind of felt that those were both the same.
I feel like they could have just condensed that into one sequence. I think you're right.
Yeah.
But like at the same time, I think it was just with the training montage, I reckon they were just trying to play to that, you know, pay homage to like the original Mario style where he's, you know, jumping on the piranha plants and all that kind of stuff. But I reckon they could have condensed it.
Yeah.
Though,
could have made that shorter and taken some of those elements and put it into the Kong Kingdom stuff, I think. And even like having the Mario Kart sequence in there, I feel like that could almost be saved for another movie, I guess. Because like... What's the next? Like, you're talking about setting up as a franchise, and there will be another movie. This will have done well enough to, because what is it, 300 million or something in the first
weekend
or something?
It's the biggest animated movie opening weekend ever, I think. Don't quote me on it in case I'm wrong, but I feel like that's what I've read.
Yeah.
It's yeah, it's huge. So there would no doubt be another, I'm going to double check myself there, but
Yeah, and so there's bits and pieces like that where I go, okay, well, I was a bit meh about it. There was something else I had there. Oh, because the whole thing's about the superstar, right? That's not a superstar. That's an invincibility star. And that's the only, like, little Lord nitpicky thing I'm going to do, because that wasn't
but
a superstar.
Kids. I know, think about the kids.
But the kids know what an invincibility star is, and that's what that was. So.
Did you know... that's a spoiler. No, that's it. It's more of an Easter egg. I'm not going to say that. I'm going to take it back. Mm. Did you notice Iron Raven was singing a bit of...
CCR? I did, indeed. Welcome in, Iron Raven. Thank you for the follow that you did earlier today. Thank you so much.
Stormy, is that a PlayStation scarf? And if, when I win this Lego pack, can it be thrown into the package, please? Thanks. No. It is mine. Actually, I wore it to work today. And only the select few gamers actually recognized what it was. And I was like, yes, it's winter weather. It's time to bring it out again. Mm. Anyway, yeah, so... That's what were you talking about?
We're talking about the movie a bit, but before we get onto that, we do actually have some giveaways tonight for this. So we have we have two family passes to see the Mario movie, in season family passes. I think they're only good for Australia, so sorry to our friends in New Zealand and overseas. This one will only be for anybody in Australia. But if you would like to go into the draw for that, just type Mario in chat and we will draw them very, very soon.
Just the word Mario.
Yep.
And even if you typed in Mario already, you're already entered.
Yeah, that's it, because we've been talking about Mario, so people have been typing Mario. So I can see that there's a couple of people entered in there already for that. So,
sweet. Mario, just in capitals. Mario! Did you see that? Obviously, he meant it as a joke, but the internet's going a little crazy now. Jack Black said in an interview that Pedro Pascal should be Wario. Did you see that?
No, he should be Waluigi.
No, Willem Dafoe should be Waluigi.
Oh my God, yes. Yes, no, I want both of those. Pedro Pascal as Wario.
And someone said Danny DeVito as Wario, actually.
Yes!
Can you imagine having Danny DeVito and Charlie Day, like for like Always Sunny fans? Like that would be...
That would be so good.
Well, there you go. Who knows?
I'm low-key excited for that now. I want to see it.
Yeah.
I do want to get back and talk about some of the critics' responses to this movie.
Okay.
Because, like I said, I came out of the movie.
I want to look up some of them.
I had thoughts that I wasn't, you know, super positive about it. There were bits that I went to, that I went, I wasn't keen on that.
Yeah.
But overall, I liked it. But the hammering is getting from the critics, and I feel like they're looking at it going, I'm treating this as if it's a serious movie when it's not. It's like very much just a let's have some fun type movie, and it's a fun, enjoyable ride. And yeah,
it's an easy watch. It is very safe. Yeah. Like, I wasn't on the edge of my seat going, oh my God, what's going to happen to Mario? Like, it's fine.
Let's face it, the Mario games, I'm never on the edge of my seat with them as well, because we know what's
going
to happen.
That's going to be okay.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, that's true, though. That's very true.
Yeah. But the Mario games have always been more cartoony than, like, they're your Saturday morning cartoons where the good guys always win and that sort of thing. So, like, I don't see there anything particularly... bad. Like, there's nothing wrong with the way it's done. You know, there was even one review that I was reading, and it was comparing it to the 90s Mario movie.
Why?
Trying to make a case that the 90s Mario movie was better.
Oh, really?
And it's just like, and they were going, oh, you know, this movie was like the new Mario Brothers movie was super safe. This one took risks, and look at how gritty it is, and all this. I go, dude, have you seen that movie? It is a steaming pile of dog turd.
Yeah.
And you hear about, like, I love Bob Hoskins, absolutely adore him. I loved him in Who Framed Roger Rabbit and Smee and Hook and stuff like that. And John Leguizamo has always been a bit of a favourite. And seeing those two as Mario and Luigi, like, you can see them. They're Mario and Luigi. But you hear them say that they spent most of that movie drunk because it just made no sense whatsoever what they were doing. So it was just like, how can you even compare this movie to the old Mario Brothers movie. You can't do it.
Iron Raven said they could never do a good Mortal Kombat movie. Hey, now the last one wasn't that bad, okay? I thought it was fun. It was, but they didn't need to put Cole in there, whatever his name was.
Yeah, I'll go you one better. The 90s Mortal Kombat movie is amazing.
Actually, I was forced to watch them before I watched the new one because I had friends who were big Mortal Kombat fans, like of the game, and were like, okay, well, before you watch the new one, we're going to make you watch the 90s ones. Yeah. Look, they were fine. They were good. They were funny. But I didn't think the new one was that bad.
No, the new one had really good martial arts scenes in it. Mm. But like, what? You look because I don't know how I stumbled across it, but I was reading stuff about the Mortal Kombat movie and how it was made. Because at the time they got Christopher Lambert as Raiden. He was a big name at the time. He was done Highlander and a few other bits and pieces around the time. But it's like to get him as Raiden was a big thing. And part of the bulk of the shoot was being done in Asia somewhere, I think. But they only had enough money to have him in some shoots in whatever studio they were in. And I think they were saying that he flew himself out there to be part of the movie because they were just going to use like a stand-in and stuff like that. And so you could tell they were kind of doing it on a budget, and the special effects, even for the 90s, weren't the best.
Ooh.
But you know what? It's another movie that's entertaining. And
yeah.
It hits the right spot.
That's it. That's all you need. Sometimes you don't need like the biggest, you know, Golden Globe written script.
No.
If it's just fun and you enjoy it, that should be all that matters.
Yeah. So just
said what I said.
Yeah, mic drop. So just a reminder for anybody in chat, if you'd like to join in our giveaway for the Super Mario Brothers movie family passes. So there's four tickets in each of those passes, and we've got two to give away. Type Mario in chat and...
We'll be drawing at the end?
I think we'll draw it at the end.
Yes,
yeah.
So sounds good.
We'll just remind people that if you do want to enter, type Mario in chat. Open only to Australian residents, though, so please keep that in mind. I think, like, as far as the Mario movie goes, that's
everything.
Yeah.
Without getting into anything spoilery, there is one character, which I won't say who it is, in the middle of the movie. This isn't like, there is a post-credit scene that's totally separate. Did you like the one character in the movie that was stuck in like Bowser's jail cell?
Yes.
Do you know which one I'm talking about?
I do. But you've seen him in the trailers as well. He was in one of the trailers.
Are we talking about the same one? The little, like...
Yeah, the Luma.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was in one of the trailers.
Oh, was he? Oh,
yeah.
Okay. So,
but it's like that really... childlike voice saying really messed up things about, you know, we're all going to die.
Yeah, like, oh, that's really funny. So I was, I can't say anymore, but that character, like, stole the show for me a little bit at some points because I was just cackling. My sister thought it was just the funniest lines the whole movie. I found myself laughing way too hard. Oh, yeah, the sweet release of death. really, really good. Stay until after the main credits because there is a little post-credit scene, which I think it's definitely worth sticking around for.
I would say no. Because
I respectfully disagree.
Well, I only say that because I don't know how to say this without spoiling it. But
is this the
character that you see in that post-credits scene is kind of in the movie already?
No, not really, though.
Yeah,
I know what you're saying. I knew you were going to say that. No, not really. No. Let it... thing have its moment. I'm not going to say what it is, but
the only thing is that scene was not in the Mushroom Kingdom, so that might be the thing they're going for. But yeah, it was still good.
You can't say anymore now.
I also don't know how much we're worried about spoilers for this movie. Yeah, you know what? I'm going to defend the cinema workers now because post-credit scenes have made their job so much harder.
And longer?
Because they used to
stay to the end of the credits before we clean up.
As soon as the lights come up, they come in and they would clean up, but now everybody expecting post-credit scene, so they have to wait until the movie's finished, and then if there's a big mess in there, it takes them longer
and
to
it's
clean
like,
up.
Like, it's not just Marvel movies now. Like, John Wick 4 had an end credit scene. Scream, which one came out this year? 6. That one had an end credit scene, and I'm like, these poor cinema workers. No one's safe now. They have to stick around to the end. But, like, there are good post-credit scenes, and there's some, like, maybe, oh, God, which one was it? I think it was the most recent Marvel one, and I was like, that was a waste of time because it literally was nothing.
There was the best one that I reckon Marvel have done is at the end of Spider-Man Homecoming. Because that was the one just after Civil War, the first Spider-Man movie that Marvel had. And like all throughout it, they had like PSA videos with Captain America.
Yes, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, and then right at the end, like Chris Evans pops up and goes, you know, sometimes you wait a long time for something and it's not worth it.
Yeah, and it's just not worth it. Yeah. I actually forgot about that, and you're right, that is one of the best ones, but we're getting a bit sidetracked.
Yes. We're not getting too many more entries into our Mario movie competition, so
there's still time.
There is still time, but I do want to remind people that if you type Mario in chat right now, you've got a decent chance of winning the Mario family pack. So that's 4 tickets to go and see Super Mario Brothers the movie, and we've got 2 of those to give away.
Mm-hmm.
So if you
still got more time,
yeah, if you still can. I think you're already in White Monkey. That's good. I like the enthusiasm. I like you showing people how it should be done. So that's the Mario movie. So then something that just came up today that I saw that admittedly I don't know a lot about because I'm not a PlayStation gamer, but there is a State of Play coming up on Friday. Mm-hmm. At stupid o'clock in the morning for us.
Always.
I think it's like 4 a.m. Perth time. Or I don't know why the article that we've got for this is put in an Australian Eastern Daylight Savings Time, but I'm pretty sure that ended a couple of weeks ago.
Oh, has it?
So like the top one says Australian Eastern Daylight Savings Time, but I'm just noticing that it's the same as Australian Eastern Standard Time anyway, so I have no idea why they put that in there.
I do not know.
So, but anyway, PlayStation are doing a State of Play. So if you're keen to see that, that's happening Friday morning. It'll be 4 a.m. Perth time, 7 a.m. Australian Eastern Standard Time. And basically it's going to be Final Fantasy.
6:30 Adelaide
time. Oh, sorry.
Don't forget 6:30 about Adelaide.
What's how far ahead is New Zealand as well? I think they're plus 11.
Now you're just making fun of me.
That's 9 a.m. New Zealand time, which is a reasonable time as long as you're not at work.
Sorry, continue.
So there's going to be 20 minutes of Final Fantasy 16 footage. I do like the optimism of this article here on, I forget which website it is, and it's too far away for me to read, so I'm not even going to try.
I know, I'm a glass.
But like the article there says, they've announced that there's going to be 20 minutes of gameplay from Final Fantasy 16, but they haven't said they're not going to show off anything else.
Has PlayStation said they're going to,
I don't think so, but really if you're doing a State of Play and they're showing off 20 minutes of gameplay,
that would be it.
I'm pretty sure that's going to be it, because State of Plays don't normally go for much longer than that.
Yeah, like I'd be very surprised if it did go any longer than 20 minutes. Surely, oh, here we go, it's the official PlayStation blog.
Oh, well, that's
Let's have a look. Happy to announce that State of Play will dive into all of Final Fantasy 16. Oh, I think that's it. It says dive into all of this and more, but I mean, I would be very surprised if they were going to bring something else. I feel like 20 minutes is a pretty solid look at 16. Because what day is it coming out again?
It's Friday.
No, sorry, Final Fantasy 16.
Oh, I have no idea. Sorry.
It's, I feel like it's the middle of the year.
I think so as well.
Could be June 22.
Okay, so it's still a little
PS5.
Bit.
PS5.
And like, I feel like a title that big, that you would, if you're going to show off 20 minutes of gameplay, you want that to be the focus. You don't want
That's what I think. Unless they're going to maybe show, aren't they doing like now I'm not acquainted with Final Fantasy, so don't come at me here. Aren't they doing like a part 2 of Final Fantasy 7? Like, because Final Fantasy VII was like part of that story, and then they're doing another one. Yes. What if they're going to show that? Because that would be fitting if they've got the Final Fantasy.
They may do, and I vaguely remember hearing about some DLC for Final Fantasy XV, which sounds really weird if you're going to be bringing that out about now when 16's about to launch.
I don't know. But if they do announce anything of the new Final Fantasy VII sequel thing, someone owes me an ice cream because I've made the prediction here and now. I'm looking at you, Charlie Goff. Ice cream.
Okay. Is this before or after he goes up north?
Yeah. I'll make someone get me an ice cream.
So White Monkey's saying, and that and more made me think there's more. But see, for me, it's whether that and more means they're going to be showing something other than Final Fantasy 16, or they're going to be showing a bit more than the gameplay. Like maybe they've got a new trailer to show.
I'm going to be pretty upset, right? Like, hypothetically, right? I have no intentions of waking up at stupid o'clock to watch Final Fantasy. I'm sure Final Fantasy is great. I'd love to play the franchise one day. Just not for me right now.
Yeah.
If I found out that they played 20 minutes of Final Fantasy 16 and then showed the new Spider-Man trailer afterwards, I'd be absolutely livid. I'd be absolutely livid. So in my mind, I'm thinking surely if they're doing Final Fantasy 7 Part 2, it would make sense because you have Final Fantasy fans there. But if they were to do like a total 180 and show something else, devastated.
I think if they're going to do anything else though, it's going to be another Square Enix title. It's not going to be...
Yeah.
It might be something else, Final Fantasy, because isn't there's that Final Fantasy music game coming soon?
Well, it's already out.
Is it? I'm not sure. I haven't paid attention to it really, because as much as I used to love the Final Fantasy games, they're too big a games now for me to just play anymore. It's too much.
I have 14 actually. I want a copy of like the 14 Complete Edition,
okay.
And that's really big. And I never actually.
Because 14's the MMO.
Yeah, didn't 14, I know it was definitely nominated for Best MMO at the Game Awards last year. Did it win? I think it did.
I can't remember.
It was like, yeah, again, I might just be lying. I might be an outright liar here, but I'm pretty confident in my useless knowledge in my noggin. I'm pretty sure... hold on, I can't.
No, I don't think that's not it, because I think I've just searched
Game of the Year.
I've searched Game Awards.
Player's Choice,
and it's brought up all the different Game Awards, not just the Game Awards.
Anyway,
but
I didn't actually realize how big it was. So yeah. I'm keen. I've got someone who was like, "I will teach you how to play Final Fantasy 14," and I was like, "Yes, please," because I've actually never played an MMO.
I had a lot of fun. Like I. People, regular viewers will know I'm big on SWTOR.
And oh, what?
I know. Who would have thought? A Star Wars nerd that likes a Star Wars MMO. But I've also played a bit of Final Fantasy 14 through the vanilla game.
Yeah.
And I had a lot of fun with it. I felt that it was very easy to pick up and play, especially because like I went through the character creation stuff and I've chosen my class based on what I thought was like a ranged spellcaster.
Yeah.
Turns out I've rolled a healer and I've never played a healer in my life. So I'm playing it and every what do they call them? I'm going to say dungeons. I don't think that's quite right, but that's like their multi-person thing. So every time I came up to one of those, I'm sorry, I don't normally heal, but I'm learning. Please stick with me.
Like when you're in the lobby or whatever. Is it some kind of lobby?
Well, when you start off, you're in a starting area, so you can have a bit of a text chat with people. And so, yeah, that's what I was doing. Every time I got into a match, I just went, I apologize. And I think I only wiped a couple of times in doing that. So I was... quite happy with myself, to be honest. But yeah, Final Fantasy 14 is very cool. I did like it.
So. Game Awards, Final Fantasy.
I still
can't. Aha!
Was it?
Final Fantasy 14 won Best Ongoing Game. I knew it won something. And I was like, I was so... Not in shock. I just like didn't know anything about how big Final Fantasy 14 was until it won that award, and I was like,
huge! Like a couple of years ago,
was it at PAX? Was it Final Fantasy 14 booth that they had they people had, lining up?
Yeah,
for?
They had that at last PAX, but even before that, like when I got onto it a couple of years ago now, Yeah, it was still huge. Like, it was queues to get into the servers.
I need to see what all the fuss is about.
Yeah,
then.
It's just, I remember when I played it to begin with, because it was a new MMO for me. Like, I have got 19 characters in SWTOR.
Mm.
I have done pretty much everything there is to do in SWTOR except for operations, because the ping has always been terrible to do operations on. So, but like, when I start a new character, I don't explore. I just go from one point to the other doing quests. Whereas when I started Final Fantasy XIV, that sense of adventure came back. And so I was exploring. I was doing everything.
Mm.
I was massively over-leveled when it came to the story quest because I was doing everything. But I was having fun. It was just really, really good.
Mm.
Yeah, and Analog Gaming says that one major difference with Final Fantasy XIV is you can change your class in it. So like, what there's like a quest line where you go through to get your class quest type stuff.
Yeah,
so,
sweet.
If you want to stop, you can go and find the person that, well, the NPC that gives you the quest to become a hero,
like a different
or
class
a DPS or
oh, that's
or
so
whatever,
cool,
and go through that. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I'm keen. I've literally got someone who's like, just tell me where and when, and I'll teach you how to play Final Fantasy 14. Because yeah, I've never played an MMO, so that's really cool.
Really, really cool. Very, sweet. Very good. So don't forget in chat as well, for everybody watching, we have 2 family passes for the Mario movie to give away. If you'd like to be entered into that, type Mario in chat and you'll go into the draw. We'll draw that after we've done our bloody good game of the week. Because I'm actually very excited for
this. We're both pretty excited.
I know. Like,
I don't remember the last time we both played the same game for
yeah.
Bloody Good Game of the Week.
Like, it's such an interesting one. And just before we swap over, I'm going to turn the sound back up on it. Because
oh,
I'm
please.
Pretty sure
you've got to have the sound
I turned it down because otherwise it would be going
overpower.
Right now.
Thanks, Aussie Broadband,
yeah.
For Bloody Good Game of the Week. We're really keen to show off this one.
So this week we're going to be playing Terra Nil. So, for those of you that may have heard little bits about Terra Nil, basically it's a revitalization type game. So, you get given a patch of land that's been decimated by whatever, and your job is to make it better and
bring it back to life.
Bring it back to life, and then what I absolutely adore about it is that you remove every last bit of technology that you've used.
Mm.
To finish it off, and I just love that little bit. So let's we're going to jump in here to a new one. So just getting a new map generated right here.
So this will be the second level that you're on now?
No, this is the first one. So I started a new.
Oh,
save.
You started
so
it fresh.
We,
okay,
we started
cool.
fresh, so we can go through basically the tutorial.
Yeah. So when did you start playing this?
I played it for a bit last week.
Yeah. So I started playing it last week as well. So I was very fortunate to receive a code for this one from Power Up PR. And I did a playthrough video of it on YouTube of me experiencing it. And I realized, like, I started playing the game and recording the segment at 11:30 at night because I was like, oh yeah, just try for a little bit.
Rookie mistake.
I got absolutely hooked on it because everything from the music to the sound design and learning how the game works and that element, like that puzzle kind of element that it has to it, was just, I got so addicted. And
yeah.
I was like, damn it, I have work tomorrow. I was like, I can't keep playing this.
Definitely one of those games you can lose yourself in. So you
yeah.
get the tabs that the tabs don't really matter so much now because we're just starting off. And I'm going to go with the gardener because that's nice and easy.
Yeah, so this is like, they call them approaches, which I like. Approaches is another nice different word for difficulty. I'll give them that.
So have you tried the other difficulties?
Not yet.
No, okay.
I thought I would finish maybe Gardener first on all the levels, but then because I was like, oh, it's going to be easy, and I 100%ed this first level, and now I haven't 100%ed like some of the later ones, and now I'm really upset about it. So I think my stubbornness won't let me go to the other approaches yet until I finish the Gardener one.
So just going through some basic movement stuff. Oh, except I don't have a mouse wheel, but that's okay because. I'm just going to click on this little red X here. So very basic stuff. Zoom in, zoom out, move around. So, and then the first thing you do, because everything's great, you've got to have power to power all your machines. So you get a wind turbine, and everything has a cost. So you see down here, you've got your green leaf and says 4. So that costs 4 I don't even know what they
are. I think
are.
They're just called resources.
Yeah.
I realise that the banner's covering it, but
sorry.
At the yeah. bottom, there's a picture of a turbine. It says it costs 4 resources.
Yeah. So, and then they can only go on these Brock type things. So we're just going to quickly place one here. And I do love, because the whole theme of this is basically environmentalism. So you're wanting to bring the green back. It's White Monkey. I would kind of describe it as the anti-Sim City, because you're not building a city, you're rebuilding the environment.
Yeah, it was interesting. I had that discussion with someone else recently, McDougus, when I was playing this on stream, because I think they had the idea that it was going to kind of be like City Skylines, but this is definitely like you don't have. You've got some freedom to like build to your own kind of design, but there is a clear goal that you have to work towards before you finish the level. And it's not an ongoing level, if that makes sense. Like there is a clear beginning and end point, but you're going to chuck in the toxin scrubbers.
Yeah. So when you got the power in there, you can put in these toxin scrubbers and these will fix up the soil. So basically whatever you've got that's powered has to be within that range of your power, and this turbine you can see can power six devices. So we'll put that. We'll just quickly get these out.
I was probably like a game tester's worst nightmare because I definitely did not put the toxin scrubbers on the squares it told me to put it on.
That's right. I did not either.
I'm not the only one. Charlie's shaking his head at me over there.
Because I'm looking at it going, I want to get the most area.
Yeah, that's what I did, Jim. That's what I did. But you're doing it the proper way now.
Well, I think we're doing a nice demonstration here. So once you get the toxin scrubbers out, all this brown area is where you can build more things. And
it's
get
proper soil now.
Yeah, it's proper soil. You can do it. But before I do, I'm going to try and do the 100% route. So I'm not going to do what the game wants me to do. It says it just wants me to rotate stuff. But it's not letting me do it.
I think you can only rotate the irrigator.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. Because with the irrigator then will give you options for the areas that you want to make green. So... I like that it puts the number next to it because the irrigated areas add to your resources as well.
Yeah, so the more... Yeah. Oh, listen to that.
The more green... Oh, love it. Absolutely love it.
The more like greenery, I guess, you produce, the more resources that you then have to muck around with in terms of like adding buildings and things. Mm. So topical with all us millennials so worried about climate change, it gives us the chance to turn back the clock, if only virtually.
Exactly. And that's one thing that I absolutely adore about this game is the feeling of repairing something, you know?
Yeah.
Rather than trying to build something and make whatever, like in SimCity or whatnot, you're restoring it. And the idea is to leave it untouched, yeah.
And then White Monkey said, you're thinking about it the wrong way, Stormy. You're a dream for them, testing things that work well, then not following their guidelines.
That's exactly right. That's what game testers
want. We just want to be unpredictable. We want to keep people on their toes.
So, yeah, the idea is to get this number in the top left-hand corner to 100%. So.
And that is also a satisfying task to go on. I don't know about you, but go 100% it. You know you want to.
I don't think we've got the time to do that here, but I would very much like to. But yeah, so basically this part of the tutorial, the game wants us to... I'm going to put it here because I think this opens up, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does a little bit.
Yeah, so I think I'm going to...
But then you're not going to get the 100% of that area.
Oh, you want the 100% of this area.
No, that's what they want, though.
Is it,
of this square, they want 100% off.
Okay, well, so we'll put another one here. And we'll put out another...
SimCity, you can build it up and have UFOs destroy it or some natural disaster. This is definitely the opposite. This is just very wholesome.
That's one thing that I loved about the Super Nintendo SimCity was because you had the natural disaster that happened and they had a Godzilla attack, but instead of Godzilla, it was Bowser.
Oh,
yeah,
what?
On the Super Nintendo. Very, very cool. I did love that.
Oh.
So let's...
Okay. Yeah, I just found myself, when I was playing this for the first time, I was just getting so lost in it because all the sounds and stuff, when you, clear something or you water something, So essentially the goal is to turn the whole brown level green. Yes, but like, but also no. Like, so I am about 4 or 5 levels into this, and it's gotten to the point where you'll make forests and you'll have little like cliff sides and stuff, and you can build like shading to create certain types of environments and land types, I guess. Oh, different terrain. That's a word, yeah. Not land types, terrain. I do words good. And
we only speak for a living here, you know.
Yeah. And basically, like, what you'll find at the end or towards the end of a level, you might be asked to find certain animals that have come to, like, inhabit some of the spaces. So then it becomes a bit like a kind of like a search and find kind of yeah. game where it will say, you know, this animal likes to hide in the forest near a cliff. And then you've got to find somewhere on your map where there's a cliff and a forest. And like locate the animal there. It's cool. It's cool.
I will admit, like, the scanning thing didn't immediately click with me.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
In what to do. Cause,
oh,
like
scanning for the animals?
Yeah. So yeah. I was trying to scan, I just was randomly scanning.
Where you just go,
and then eventually, like, it popped up and went, oh, this animal likes this area because you're getting closer to that, the area that they like to be in. And it's just like, oh, well, that makes more sense now.
Yeah. There was one part of the game I. Like, my brain just did not compute. But for the most part, like, it looks confusing. Like, when I played this on stream, I was already, like, a good several hours into it. And people are like, what is going on? But yeah. I'm like, in my brain, it makes sense. Yeah. It's like, trust me. But it's really pretty. It's beautiful. It's relaxing. There's no timer on it. I like that. There's no timer.
It's a very chill sort of game. I kind of liken it a little bit to... it's very different in the way it's played, but the feel of very chill until it's not of mini metros. If you played that, so that's like the road
design.
That was
your bloody good game of the week.
Yeah, and that's point. I had a lot of fun playing that, and it was nice and chill until it wasn't, and there were cars angry at me everywhere, and eventually I just went, you know, I give up now. That's okay. I've done enough. This level's over.
Yeah, it definitely, like, the levels do get more complex as you go. Like, you go from, like, working with maybe 6 buildings on this level, and then in the next one you've got about maybe 10 or 15, and you just got to find the right way to, like, maximize or produce certain types of area, because it's not just then about the soil becoming grass. It's about the grass becoming, you get like humidifier, or you get something that changes the weather. Yep. So you get snow in one part of the, it sounds like complex and complicated, but going through it, the game bit by bit, it's actually quite satisfying to build upon like that knowledge of every level. Yep. It's really fun.
So
you're still going. You're like,
I am. I'm loving, I was settling in to play how I would play at home. So I'm going to stop doing that because I'm just going to put in a couple more.
Just one more.
Well, no, because I really wanted to, like, 100% this, and then I'm going, well, technically we're here to show off the game and show how good it is, so we're not here to 100% it right now.
You should put a water pump in. Show everyone what the water pump looks like.
So you'll see around, you've got these little troughs, and they're old riverbeds, so we're going to chuck in a water pump, and it will start irrigating the areas.
Oh, little grass now around the soil.
So nice. So bloody nice. Let's chuck another one in up here as well.
And I think you did mention this before. Basically, at the end of this level, once you've built up everything and you've done everything you need to do, you then need to set up a recycling drone and like an airship, so you can basically get rid of all that machinery you've just put out and leave that area. So it's like just nice and like natural again. Yeah. And that's tricky because you then have to find the best way to recycle as much of the resources around as possible. So you got to get rid of every turbine, every, you know, toxin scrubber, and just completely remove it. So then you got to be kind of strategic with the way you remove it without running out of resources. And I think in this approach, I've never run out of resources. I think they make it very easy. And
yeah, I have never run out of resources, which is why in this tutorial I'm not afraid to like put stuff everywhere and not afraid to maybe waste an irrigator to get this little bit of brown stuff here.
Brown. It's like you know, the two different approaches. You know, if you've got a big brain, not like me, and you want a bit more of a challenge, obviously, I think they must just give you limited resources and maybe a more scarce kind of landscape to work with for a bit more of a challenge. But White Monkey said, looks cool, never heard of the game. This is what the Aussie Broadband sponsor this segment for the show off Bloody Good Games. They do indeed.
Very and much so.
I like to think we have quite a big variety of games that we show on the show. You know, we had what was the last one? Resident Evil 4, and then you've had Mini Motorways.
Yep.
There was Dark and Darker, which I think is coming back, by the way. There was a little bit of drama there, but I think it's coming back. And
because there was some appropriated assets.
But apparently they put the clap/pray emoji on their Twitter today, and I was like, man, if they're coming back, you're never gonna see me again. You're never gonna see me again. But yeah, it's good. And then we get to share with you guys, and you guys get to share with us what your bloody good games of the week are at the moment as well. Analog Gaming said, totally different games, but the whole chill aesthetic reminds me of Dorfromantic?
I'm familiar with that title. I can't pronounce it, but I
puzzle
have
PC
heard it.
Builder. Yeah. That sounds like kind of my jam too. Because this, I never usually play this type of game on stream or just in general. So trying out something new like this and then finding myself very addicted to it was a really good feeling. Not so good for any spare time that I had.
Or sleep. Who needs sleep?
Speaking of RE4, how many times have you finished it, Stormy? I know you were keen for
only the once. She's still playing that gun mini game.
Shut up! So, to answer your question, White Monkey, I have finished it once. Very happy with the game. Loved the game to pieces. I was actually quite sad that it finished. We're talking about this with Mikey and Raven yesterday. It was brilliant. I think I did go back to the shooting range like as a final hurrah at the end of RE4 when I streamed it, because I was like, right, I'm not going to 100% every shooting range level. I'm just going to play through them all and just achieve at least one token. And at that point, like I did it, and I was like, I made my peace with it and I moved on. But for anyone who doesn't know the context, there's like a shooting range mini game in RE4. Basically, because I'm very stubborn and I like being good at things straight away, I played for about 40 minutes straight one level to try and 100% it, and I never did it. So there we go. RE4 for me is just, it's been such a highlight in terms of games this year. I'm looking forward to playing more genres and stuff, and then again getting to share them with you guys here. You've just 100%ed that section of the level.
Yeah, cool. this just gets us back into the next section of the game, because you were talking earlier about how you make forests and
wetlands
and stuff like that. So I had
to make sure I was pronouncing that right. Yeah. I was like, it was 11:30 at night and I was reading it out for my Let's Play, and I was like, is it Finboss, Finboss, Finbos? And
one of those.
It was one of those things. Call yourself a fan. Your friend James finished it about 10 times. I know he has, because I heard, don't you worry, I heard all about it.
Was he doing speed runs or something?
Oh, he was like one of the first in the world to get to like speed run it and S plus rank it.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah, it's intense. And that's probably just this week. Be interesting to see what's next for the whole VR scene. I think like VR, I feel like it's gone a bit quiet again. Like, I don't know about you. Have you heard much about the PSVR 2 since that's come out?
I haven't, but VR is still very niche.
It's still very, yes, the concept and the idea of VR has been around for a long time. Like, in saying that, admittedly, Charlie Golf and I have an old HTC, well, I say old. How old? HTC Vive?
The first Vive.
Like, the very first HTC Vive. And it's been a long time. There hasn't really been anything that has pushed us to set it up again. In terms of actually VR news, I don't know if anyone saw Dreams is no longer being supported online after September.
Yeah, something like that.
They just announced it yesterday, I think, or the day before, which is a shame for those, you know, creatives who love VR and love Dreams. But, you know, I'm looking forward to seeing where VR continues to go and continues to grow, but at this stage, nothing's really been jumping out at me VR wise.
So I just want to point this out because it may seem counterproductive in a game that's about reclaiming the environment, but I just set fire to a whole heap of shit.
It looks sad.
You have to do that because that's how you generate some other type of
look at that.
For the forest.
That's so beautiful.
Yeah. So it's there was method to my madness, even though, like I said, it looked like I just burnt everything to the ground. But yeah, you do need to do stuff like that. That's why I feel like if you do get this game, you've got to just try things yourself.
Yeah.
And just see how you go, because there is so much to do and learn what you need to do. So it's...
I remember when I like burnt the area and I was like, I was like, yeah. I don't like this.
That's it.
And
then I don't like this game anymore.
And then I put the machine on it and then it just like, you know... I saw it like blossom again. I was like, that's light. Like, that's what happens. I was like, I had like a weird moment at like midnight where I went, you know what?
But it really is. That's why I'm going to call them Calm, but that's not their name and hasn't been for a long time. But that's why like the environmental bodies do backburning, because they need to generate that new undergrowth and get rid of all the old crap that's sitting there. I need another.
Iron Raven said, I have the first Oculus Rift CV1. It has its quirks, but does the job. The Half-Life 2 VR mod is definitely happening. Mods are taking over. I borrowed a friend's Quest, the Meta Quest. Is it they still call it that? The Facebook one?
Yes.
Yeah, that's really good. I was really impressed. The fact that you don't have to have to mount stuff up and things for it, and it's all inclusive in the system. I thought it was wicked. Dream seems like a good idea, but I don't have the creativity for the game, so I'd just be playing other people's creations, which kind of doesn't seem like the point of the game. I think you can enjoy it either way, though. I don't think there's a wrong way to do it. Slatos, welcome. Good evening, all. Sorry I'm late. Welcome to the Patreon, by the way. We shouted you out earlier in the stream to say
we've got your image as well up on the screen
here.
We'll
be rotating here. Mm-hmm. Keep an eye out on it. Drifter said, I walked away for 3 minutes and that world has completely changed. That is the beauty of Terra Nil.
Yep.
Must be close to drawing a family pass for Mario movie for Aussie residents. Type Mario in chat to enter. We're pretty much ready to draw it,
yeah,
I reckon.
So I'm just trying to rush ahead to...
I knew you'd get hooked on this. You were like, I'm just going to 100% agree.
I want to show off some stuff because like, I was at the point where I needed to get like a certain number of the wetlands and the boglands and whatnot.
Just one more turn.
This, I think, is where we start scanning for the animals, I think. So this is the last bit of the game where this is your recycling plant and you have to start collecting stuff and seeing where all the animals are. I'm not going to get into that right now because we are definitely this should be where we're at. So last chance for anybody that wants to enter the draw for our two family passes to see the Super Mario Brothers movie, type Mario in chat and we'll be drawing that very soon. But we do want to just finish off and say thank you so much to Aussie Broadband for our bloody good game of the week. Terra Nil, check it out. It's like, it's not, actually, here's something for you. If you've got a decent mobile phone, this is on Netflix gaming.
Is it?
It is.
Oh,
so
I didn't know that.
If you've got a decent phone, you can grab it on your phone and play and have a bit of a look at it there. Definitely worth it. And like, it's just reinforced my opinion because like, looking at it, I'm going, this isn't really my sort of game. I'm not a huge fan of these type of things, but then I saw Devolver Digital attached to it and I went, all right, well that's kind of sold me there because they only make really good games. So let's
check something on the computer.
My eyes are not good as well. I haven't zoomed in on that one, but thanks everybody so much for watching that. I'm going to actually turn down the volume on this now because when I click away from the window, the audio is still there.
Oh no, I've just never seen Nightbot. I was just really fascinated and wanted to have a look.
Cool. I didn't mention Devolver.
You didn't mention Devolver. Oh.
Well, I just mentioned Devolver. That has me all. That's what had me tempted as well when I saw Devolver attached to it. So let's, I'm just going to have a quick look. So I'm going to have to stand up for this. So if I'm getting up that close, I can actually
playing,
use a real mouse.
We're playing
tag.
What's that game? Musical Chairs.
Yeah. So last chance for people that want to enter the giveaway, type Mario in chat. We're going to Publisher, sorry, publisher. You're right, Anna. Devolver's a publisher, but
it's all the D like words.
Too many D's. Cool. So last chance. I think we're gonna roll two names, and see how we go. So roll. Who have we got? Oh my God.
No, you haven't. No, oh, you said the word. Must. Right. No, he doesn't count.
We're gonna re-roll that one. Sorry.
We've already
resonance.
Seen it.
Resonance. So the resonance is the first one. And our second winner is White Monkey. Resonance and White Monkey. Congratulations. We'll be in touch through the Discord to get you some the tickets. Yeah, and there's no such thing as too much D, Anna. Yes, I said that. Clip it. God. Do it.
No.
I dare you. Clip it now. But yes, you won't be disappointed. Like the Mario movie, like I said, if you go into it with the expectation that this is a children's movie, you'll enjoy it for what it is.
Yeah, but, I think, like, you know, if you missed any of this stream or, you know, just come in at the end, we did talk about Mario quite a bit and we genuinely really, really loved it. It's just a lot of fun.
It is. It is. And, like, don't get me wrong, I had some issues with it, but nowhere near the amount of issues that some critics seem to have with it. It's an enjoyable movie and would recommend going to watch it. But congratulations to Resonance and White Monkey for picking up the family passes. So that's four tickets each to go and see the Mario movie. So well done.
Let us know what you think about the movie.
Definitely. Let us know on Twitter, or we're all on our socials there, or in our Discord if you want to join in and have a chat about all things gaming in there, and, you know, gaming adjacent stuff like movies.
Yeah, we always get on to the movies.
Oh, yeah, we always find it somehow. Like, you have no idea how hard it was when you mentioned Jack Black was in the last episode of Mandalorian for me to not talk about
it. I was
episode.
Actually really impressed. I was ready for you to start talking about the Mandalorian, yeah, and I was just, like, he didn't do it.
Just quietly, I'm going to say it now. Three big cameos in there: Christopher Lloyd, Jack Black, and Lizzo. That was a star-studded episode.
You know what is sad? I found out that Jack Black and Lizzo were in it before Christopher Lloyd was. And for me, Christopher Lloyd is like the, like,
well, have you seen, like, the memes of it? There's, like, because obviously Back to the Future. It's got, like, Back to the Future, man in a DeLorean. In Mandalorian.
I saw that, actually. That was really good. Yeah. That was really good.
But I think that's on that note, we're going to leave you there tonight. Thank you so much for watching. If you're not already, please think about dropping a follow, joining our Patreon, and just having a great time joining our community. We've been having fun. Thank you so much to Wayward Cine for the raid. We very much appreciate that. And we will see everybody next week. Bye.
Bye.